Hello, little butter baby. Come over here. Looks like we got us a little butter baby playing over here next to this rotting crow carcass. Let's put some earbuds and see if he wants to listen to a podcast. He does. These butter babies love these podcasts. And to all of you gathered around the flickering digital fire that is the DTFH, I welcome you. You have tuned in to the nation's top-rated podcast. It's considered to be the number one podcast. It has been given every award possible. I can't even go through the list because there's so many. I don't want to bore you, and I don't want to seem like I'm bragging. I feel very fortunate to have received 3 years in a row Monsanto's Top Podcaster in America Award. I've also received the Halliburton Let's Have Fun Listening to Podcasts Trophy, as well as 4 different awards from the Department of Defense, including the Most Important Podcast for Transmitting a Secret Illuminati Message to the World, vaguely disguised as some kind of interview-style podcast. For that, I am very, very grateful, and this is why I kiss the stone feet of the statue of Zornax every night before I go to bed in my golden tomb. I hope you guys are having a great day. Man, fall is here. Nothing can put me in a better mood than fall. No matter how rotten things may seem, fall will always pull me out of any kind of personal despair. Just walking outside and feeling the cool air, realizing that God has turned on his air conditioner and that gaudy old fucking summer has gone galloping off into wherever summer spends, summer's fall. Let's face it, fall is the best. Spring, a close second. Any of these liminal seasons, the seasons in between the big seasons, that's where I'd like to hang out. If we could extend fall to all year long and figure out a way to grow crops in the midst of that and not disrupt the ecosystem and cause a terrible ecological disaster that would more than likely end with all of us covered in ash eating each other's molten flesh, then I would do it in a heartbeat. See you later, summer. You're out of here. You're fired. You're gone. You gotta go. We will no longer be trapped in your rotten cycle of blistering heat. We will no longer be forced to wear short-sleeve shirts. Nobody wants to wear short-sleeve shirts and shorts and flip-flops. Only a fool would want to dress like that. No, what we want to do is wear long-sleeve flannels, pants, boots, fall-style hats. We want to listen to fall-style music. It's Nick Drake time, baby. We got to turn on some Nick Drake and lay in front of the fire with our darling lovers as we discuss a fall-style movie like Mother. We're not going to get shat on by these summer blockbusters anymore. Nope. We can look forward to a series of nice independent films that we can have controversial, heated discussions over as we drink red wine and stare into the stuffed head of a deadly wolf that we captured outside our family's mansion. So I just want to cover myself in fucking rune stones and suck off a unicorn. It's fall. It's memory foam style sleeps and big soft comforters that pull over yourself and blasting the heater so it feels like you're sitting in the mouth of an overheated walrus watching fall documentaries, Ken Burns, Vietnam, and drinking cider with your sweet darling who's cozied up against you and whispers secrets into your ear that make you feel like you're a god, which you are. So let's welcome fall, friends, and let's hope this one lasts a little bit longer than usual before we get sucked into iceberg season and freeze our asses off in the land of snow, which is right around the corner. It's pumpkin time, sweeties. Halloween is on the way. The invisible membrane that separates us from the spirit world is rapidly degrading, which means that our magical incantations will be amplified with each passing day. We did it. It's fall. And this is an incredible podcast for the fall, because in this podcast, I'm going to introduce you to one of the coolest, sweetest beings that I've encountered in a very long time. This is a wonderful podcast, because this is a podcast with Derek Waters' incredible mother, Jody. And not to get sappy on you, pals, when you don't have a mother, you really start appreciating mothers. And the mother I'm about to present to you is an A-grade, high-powered, first-class mother. We're going to jump right into this episode, but first, some quick business. Holy shit, friends, we've got a brand new sponsor, an amazing sponsor. This DTFH is brought to you by Bombfell.com. Bombfell, it's an easier way for men to get better clothes. You complete a simple questionnaire and are then matched one-on-one with a dedicated personal stylist. They never charge you above retail price. They offer free shipping and returns. They have convenient home try-ons and the ability to preview and edit your stylist's picks before your order ships. I'm going to be honest, man. When they approached me, I was a little skeptical because I'm really picky when it comes to clothes, believe it or not. And I hate shopping. And I trace it all the way back to when I was a kid, and I'd have to wear husky clothes. I don't know if there are any husky babes out there, but it was humiliating. And I'd go with my poor mom, and she would try to pick clothes out without hurting my feelings. And by the end of it, I would just feel like just fucking awful, just awful, crazy, rotten, hated my body, hated clothes, hated the fact that I had to buy clothes to wear to fucking school to get brainwashed by some goddamn government. It was the worst. And this is why I don't like going out to shop now. I don't like it. I get all fucking weirded out and sweaty and freaked out anytime I go to a store to do shopping. I don't like it. I don't like getting there. I don't like being there. I don't like trying on the clothes. And when I get back with the clothes I bought, most of the time, I don't like the clothes I bought. This is why I was skeptical when I was approached by Bombfell, and I checked out the website, and the premise was you would be able to connect with a stylist, describe what you like, and they would somehow pick out an outfit for you that would actually fit and look cool. This seems ridiculous to me. As you know, I only advertise things that I actually like. So I had to try this out first. I went through the process, which is you sign up. They ask for your measurements. They ask what you want to pay for your clothes. Then you tell them what you want. So you get all these options for things that you want. I picked like a pair of jeans and a button-down long-sleeve shirt and a cool jacket. And you get a preview email where a stylist has put together your clothes. You look at it, decide if it seems like anything you would want to wear. You can adjust it if you don't want to. And then you get the clothes and you try them on. Somehow, they picked out a really cool outfit, and it fits, and I like it. I'm going to wear it. I'm actually going to wear it, and it's cool. And you know what's super cool about it? It's like something I wouldn't have picked out for myself, but something I want to wear, if that makes any sense at all. It's like cooler than what I would have picked out, or maybe I wouldn't have like thought to put these things together, but they have actual stylists doing this stuff over there, and I guess they're running some kind of badass algorithm. Bottom line, it works, guys. So if you don't want to horrify yourself anymore by going to the mall or wherever you go to buy clothes, and you want to experience what it's like to have an actual stylist pick clothes out for you, like you're some kind of billionaire trust fund kid frolicking through some magical life, then Bombfell is definitely worth trying out. And right now, if you go to bombfell.com/trussle, that's T-R-U-S-S-E-L-L, you can get $25 off of your first purchase. That's amazing. $25 off. And these clothes are cool. They're great. I'm really picky about clothes. I honestly did not imagine that there would be any way in hell that some stylist somewhere far away would be able to just take my measurements and have a basic idea of what I'm into and what my sort of clothing choices are and send me an awesome outfit. And also, when I was doing Harmontown, Harmon is also sponsored by these guys, and I saw the outfit he was wearing, and it's fucking cool. So this is, I guess this is the future, man. I don't know. This is to me a big deal, because I hate shopping for clothes. Maybe you love it. I don't know. Maybe you love standing in front of some ill-lit mirror in some fucking mall staring at your pasty body as you look through some clothes you randomly picked out and try to match them and realize you have no idea what you're doing. Or maybe you do. Maybe you're a fashion man. Well, not all of us are, okay? I'm not. I don't know how to do it. Half the time I get too stoned. I go to the pick out the clothes. I end up picking out something that it looks like I should be like sending my kid off to college in, you know, something lame. Not that it's lame to send your kid off to college, but I don't know how to do it. I don't understand it. This is why it's amazing to have access to a real stylist. So give them a shot. Bombfell.com/TRUSSELL. You have nothing to lose. If you don't like it, you just send it all back. No big deal. And also, if the first thing the stylist sends you or some aspect of it is something you don't like, then you actually send that back and they send you another choice. And you can do this through several rounds until you tune into what you like. And then your stylist knows what you like to wear. And now you have this person who's going to shoot clothing bullseyes anytime you want to get a new outfit. And it's awesome. It saves you from having to go to a mall and walk by the fucking perfumes and smell that aerosolized whale asshole when you could just be at your house getting nice, cool outfits that make you look like you know how to dress. It's awesome. Bombfell.com/trussle. Go check them out. If they could pick out clothes for my strange, spindly, wobbly body, then they could definitely pick out cool clothes for you. Bombfell.com/trussle. Go there now. It's $25 off. That's a great deal. These are super cool clothes. Check them out. Give it a shot. Bombfell.com/trussle. Thank you guys for sponsoring the DTFH. Babies, if you don't like commercials, if you don't want to listen to commercials, if you want access to more stuff, head over to patreon.com/DTFH. We are now over 500 subscribers, and thank you guys. All of you who have been subscribing. My apologies. I feel like I kind of let you down because this episode with Derek's mom, I didn't upload early to the Patreon because I wanted to let Derek listen to it and let his mom listen to it to make sure that everything like on it was something that they were cool putting out into the world. So I wasn't able to put an early episode up. But in general, if you sign up over at patreon.com/DTFH, you are going to get a commercial-free early episode. Any podcast I record, I'm going to put it there first. No more commercials, completely unproduced, just a raw interview. It's there for you. Also, there's plenty of extra stuff over there. I like to record weird, rambly things and upload it over there. And there's much more content coming to there. I've got all these old live podcasts that I'm trying to dig up. And I want to put them there. If I can find them, they're going to be there. Regardless, it's a great way for you to support this podcast. And thank you guys who have subscribed. Finally, a big thanks to those of you who use our Amazon portal. There's a link located at DuncanTrussell.com. If you feel like buying some cool plastic stuff over at Amazon, all you got to do is go to DuncanTrussell.com, zing through that link. And I'm just going to keep plugging this thing because every day that I sit in front of it, I get more amazed by it. Get yourself an Ableton Push 2. Or if you don't want to learn music and spend time making music and just inhale digital heroin, I finally got a Nintendo Switch. My God, the new Zelda is so awesome. It's like smoking opium. It's like inhaling the exhaust from some kind of hyper-dimensional spacecraft. It is such a great video game and so brutally addictive. Go through our Amazon link and check it out. Also, we've got a shop with lots of t-shirts and posters over at duncantrussell.com. Awesome. All right, friends, let's dive right into this episode. Today's guests are the host and creator of Drunk History, Derek Waters, and his amazing mother, Jody Waters. Please welcome to the DTFH, Jody and Derek Waters. This is a really special night for the DTFH because not only am I with one of my favorite humans living today on planet Earth, Jody Waters, I'm also...
That's my Duncan.
That's good, Duncan.
I'm also with the creator of Drunk History, Derek Waters.
Yay!
You're the creator of Drunk History, Jody, if you think about it, because you created the creator
exactly.
of Drunk History.
That's it. Yep.
But do you get any royalties?
I get nothing. Nothing? Nothing at all other than just being... Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, but let's get a couple of bits of business out of the way. Yeah. Then we'll get into the podcast.
Yes.
Number one, Derek, why aren't you getting residuals from your mom from Drunk History?
Why aren't I getting them?
Why should I be getting them?
Right, yes.
I mean, sure, I could. Mm-hmm. Do you need any money? Mom, be close.
Be closer?
Bring it in closer. Yeah, there you go. Like that's about... That's
is that about...
Right, see where
does that
the,
sound...
See where it is the distance from my mouth?
Yeah.
Here, just right around.
Do you think that...
Like, hold it like that. Hold it.
I know, but then my hand starts to go to sleep.
There you go. That's trying, good.
Is this good?
Pretty
okay.
good. Yeah, that's great.
All right.
So, yes. Okay. What about yes. that, Derek? Let's cut your
some,
mom in
here. Some royalties. I mean, I guess I haven't done it because I didn't know you needed it.
No, and... Burns and I have talked about this.
That's my dad, Burns.
Yes. And that we know that if we ever really needed money, Derek would certainly be willing to help us.
Let's also make clear that it's a Comedy Central show. No. I'm not loaded.
I mean. No. But, and this has always been our wish for Derek, that when he came out here that... We thought, oh, just let him be able to provide for himself, be able to live by himself without our help
right.
anymore. And, hey, it's turned out to be better than we ever expected it.
Can you talk a little bit about the first year or two that Derek came out here and what that was like to... know that your son was pursuing one of the most ridiculous and improbable careers that anyone could choose. How did that feel? How did you deal with the inevitable first few years of a comedian's life in Los Angeles, which it doesn't look that good for anybody when they first come out here?
Well, it's so funny because I know exactly how I felt. When growing up, okay, none of us are academically oriented.
The Waters family.
Myself, right. We all are. We just were not school people. Even though I ended up to be a teacher. Now, go figure that one out.
You're
Some
a teacher?
Some people are on a short bus. We didn't have a bus.
Right.
I think we could say that maybe the Waters family is... modest,
yes,
but certainly okay. not slow. Okay. I don't think that's an accurate appraisal of you guys at all.
So, of course, we were you go along and you see as your children mature, and we have Derek has an older brother, 6 years older. So he always, Justin, Derek's older brother, he loved the business that my husband had. And so,
what business is that?
That is called the Waters Company. And Justin will.
Everything to do with tires except for tires.
There you go.
Wheel weights, tire valves.
Anything to make. To put tires on, mm-hmm. But
not to get too far away from your main point, how do you get into the tire business? How does
family in 1926 it started?
So the Waters family, just who started you
My
guys into
grandfather?
Mm-hmm. And it was originally the Waters Rubber Company. So when it originally started, it was in Baltimore. They sold rubber bathing suits.
And, I never knew this.
Yeah, no. It's very...
Condoms?
No condoms, no. But the other... And people who grew up in Baltimore remember they had a place on Charles Street, which that's Baltimore. They had a seal in the window. And I remember Sears had one of these too. And it... with air... I'm thinking about it. I got it. Okay, so the seal's there.
A seal, like an animal.
Like the animal. Ooh, you know.
So, anyway.
Oh, my. Okay, so they have, it's like they want people to think that the seal, you know how in the circus it's balancing balls
yes.
on its nose?
Sure.
Okay, so here's the seal in the window of the store, and the ball is going up and up and up. But there's secretly, of course, a little fan that's making the ball,
right.
you know, go like, but it makes people think that. Okay, so that's where
that
the
was in
rubber.
The original water company.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So this is like a thing you can buy know. Back then to help your store. If you would buy like a just put a seal in the window.
Yeah.
Well,
people
as
double
seals. Your business.
Seals make you
Do you know?
Buy.
As a matter of fact, I'm wondering because I remember Sears robot.
The Sears seal.
They had one in there too because I never saw the Waters Company seal. But then, okay, so then they got into retreading, which I kind of learned this. When you retread tires, there's a special rubber that you use, and, you know, now I'm thinking.
Was this like this?
Did they sell it or
what's the? I this is sad. You should know this, probably, Derek, because you have a show about history. What's the history of the automobile? When did cars first show up on the scene?
I could know that, but I don't. I mean,
we could
General
Google
Motors.
Search
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
let's do it like we
yeah.
used to
yeah,
do
I'd
in the old days.
Google for Lent.
So, the point is, this is a relatively probably. It's like kind of cutting edge to be making tires back then. This is still...
Well, again, like Derek said, the Waters Company, it's everything about tires, but tires themselves. So they would like sell the rubber, I guess,
the distributor.
Exactly. Okay, now I'm remembering. Okay, because there's still retread plants. And so the Waters Company... Waters Rubber Company then would buy the rubber and then they would sell it to the retread plants. And they were the ones that made the tires to go on the trucks. And do you know, this is really interesting because you know how you're going down the highway and you see these big things of rubber on
yeah.
the roads? Okay. I thought, what the heck is that? But on the trucks from going over, that's actually the tires have been retreaded, and that's the newest of the treads that have...
Like they're snakeskin.
Calling on. Right, right.
So this is your husband's father. Or
grandfather.
Grandfather.
Yeah.
And then your husband's... What's his name?
Burns.
Burns' father is also...
He was... Right. Mm-hmm. It was his granddad, whose name was also Burns, then... He named
My dad's
his...
name is Burns Hargett Waters III.
Wow.
How did he not want to continue that?
Burns we'll Waters? Do you get a
Burns,
cooler name than that?
Oh, yeah. Burns Hargett Waters III.
Wow.
And you know why? Okay, so his grandfather was Burns Hargett Waters. He named his son Burns Hargett Waters Jr., I think it goes.
Right.
Or the second. Then, because he hated the name Burns' dad, he went by Bob. So what does he do after when his first son is born? He names him Burns Hargett Waters III.
Wow.
So Burns is Burns.
And so, okay, so that's, first of all, it's amazing. Burns Waters is the coolest name ever.
I agree.
Now, so your oldest son is in the family business.
Yes.
He's interested in this.
Fourth generation, yes.
And he's doing that now.
He is, yes.
That's amazing to think.
Yeah.
Four generations really of a cool business. That's incredible.
And that is true. Historically, most family businesses don't make it even past the second. It's, you know, because, I mean, families are families, and most of them
but have most all family kinds businesses of, struggle, and then they sell them off to corporations.
That's true. Or, but, you know what, the other thing is that happens a lot of times is that the father is really interested. The kids come along, and, well, see, if we only had Derek,
yeah,
Burns would have, you know, sold the business out. Because who?
But I've always said if anything happened to Dad and Justin, I would figure out how to keep it.
Yeah.
So Justin is demonstrating some this proclivity for working in the family business, and that's
yes,
a relief. You've got a son who's suddenly obviously interested in the family business, and that's really cool.
That was right. So we had that in our minds. Then comes Derek, who.
Oh boy. Look out.
From it's just so neat to think about him from the and he always loves this story, but I'm telling you, I remember this. He was an infant, and in the old days they had actual little scales where you put the baby on the scale, and you know, for their checkups.
Yeah.
And I still remember Derek.
In the old days. They don't.
They don't do that.
They don't weigh them anymore.
I don't. They might.
They just feel them.
Well, they probably have.
I was born in 1979.
I know, but maybe they have.
You think they have a more high-tech way of
weighing babies? They have digital something or others. Yeah. I don't know.
Oh, you mean they put them on a, like, meat scale.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, right. Exactly.
They, so, yeah, they wasn't a digital. They put them on the same thing you're weighing.
And then, you know, the little. Yeah. Right. And the little, you know,
like a
arrow goes up. Yeah. So anyway, he's sitting there. He's, you know, and
is Dr. Yim?
Is Dr. Yim, right? And Dr.
You remember
Yim,
your pediatrician?
Oh, yeah, because I've heard this story so many damn times. But, so, yeah, keep going.
Okay. So anyway, he comes into the room and sees, you know, cute little Derek just sitting there, and he says, "Do you know there is something special about this little boy?" And I never, ever forgot that. And in fact, years and years later, I saw Dr. Yim. I said, "Do you remember, you know, you said something, you know?" I mean, he's had thousands and thousands of people. But he says, no, I know. I don't say that to everybody because I thought. Well, anyway, but we knew
he
that Derek.
Special needs.
No.
No, he saw the spark.
Exactly. And it just emanated, is that a word, from Derek. Okay, this is a really good example. And he loved people. He just loved people. He attended a nursery school, and it was like from 9 to 12. Well, it was also, they had the nursery school, but they also had a daycare for the parents who worked. And because some of the kids in Derek's classes stayed for daycare, he said, "Mom, I want to stay for daycare," because he wanted to be with the kids longer.
Wow.
He was like, "No, I don't want to come home with you. I want to stay here with my friends, and I'd say, Terry, that's for the mommies who work, and don't you want to come home? No, he really, he just, anything. And
did I love people, or I just didn't want to be home?
No, you
get
really.
Get me out of here.
No. And
did you wonder that? Were you worried?
Like, no.
Oh, okay.
No, you know, and I guess that's the other really neat part about Derek, because he did. He had something special, and, I'm just trying to think.
But when you're a mom, did you wrestle in your mind? Because here's the truth. Sometimes parents give birth. Every child is special, right? But sometimes parents give birth to an actual super special kid.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it this the weird mental wrestling match you have to do with yourself as a parent? Is you have to think, is the kid like special just because it's my child and my DNA wants me to think the kid's special? Because if we don't think our kids are special, when they start crying, we'll throw them off a cliff thousands of years ago because they're so annoying. Or weren't you sort of wondering and thinking, like, does the doctor say, I think if I had a child, I would want to believe I have spawned the Christ. But I, you know what I mean? I'd want to believe this is the Messiah. Yeah. But I would also, part of me would be like, no, it's just my brain playing tricks on me. Certainly not any more special than any other child.
Right.
Do you want, that just triggered a memory. And this is, and I guess both of my sons, to me, but this one, this was about Justin. Or was it you? Shoot.
I'm Derek.
I know, but I'm trying to think. I was at a friend's.
What's the age difference?
I was at a 6 years. Yeah.
Okay.
So I was at a friend's house.
That's an interesting. I'm sorry to cut you off. That is an interesting span of time.
There you go.
Okay. Yes. Do you want me to explain that?
Well, let Duncan explain to his listeners where he's going.
Okay. Okay.
I'm just saying it's an interesting span of time between, I mean, a lot of times when people have kids, it usually is like, oh, you know, like my brother, for example, it's like, you know, 3 years.
Duncan has a theory that maybe my dad isn't my dad.
Because there was such a long
time.
Period.
Why was there a long time?
Okay. There's a very, very good reason as to that.
Are you going to remember the story?
I will. I'll go back and you can help me. But when Justin was born, I had never held a baby. I was 24. Jeez. And I'd never held a baby.
So young.
I didn't know really what to do. And I thought I was a horrible mother. And so
why did you think that?
It was not. Well, I didn't know what to do if he cried. And I.
Did you have anyone to help you? Could you talk to your mom about it?
No. that was really not an option. So
you were kind of, because of this relationship with your mom, you didn't have the normal support system that people have, which is a mom who knows how to tell you. Generally, this information is passed down.
Absolutely.
From mother to mother to mother.
That's
and
right.
So you're having to sort of figure it out as though you're the first mom. You have books or something. And
well,
Dr. Yin. Yim?
Yeah.
Yim.
Mm-hmm. And when you say that, that's very true, because I really didn't know how to mother because I didn't have a role model to base my mothering skills on. I really was starting at ground level.
Yeah.
So back in those days, of course, no Google or anything. We had a book, Dr. Spock.
Right.
It was called that?
Everything. Yes. Dr. Spock. Yes. And, you know, so whenever, you know, Justin would, you know, do anything, you just look it up in Dr. Spock's book and he would say, you know, da, da, da. Anyway, this all goes
feed
to
him.
The point. Yeah. This all goes.
He cries, feed him.
Feed him.
That's like a two-page.
Go to the grocery store.
This all goes to just tell you I was totally not prepared to be a mom at all. And this went on, obviously, because most of my friends, as you had said, you know, 2 and 3 years is the traditional span between children. Well, and my friends were all doing that. But I also, then a lot of them were like, oh my God, I'm, you know, tearing myself apart. Oh, you know, these kids are driving me crazy. Yeah. And I thought, well, I'm not doing that. Okay. So, and then, okay, this is, oh my gosh, I'd forgotten all this. So I said, okay, well, I think we're going to have an only child because I just can't see myself going through all this. You know, was such a mess the first time. So we're going to have an only child. And I bought books and, you know, all the advantages, blah, 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 sure. blah. Yep. This was it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then my father had a little business. Anyway, he was moving. Make a long story short, he fell off the back of a truck and knocked himself unconscious and had to be taken to the hospital. We, as a family, it was my mom, my dad, my brother, and myself were helping him. So when he went to the hospital and we didn't know what was going on, it was just my brother and myself in the waiting room. And at that moment I said, oh my gosh, no, that's not fair to Justin. You have to have somebody wow. with you if you go through these wow. traumatic. I said that, oh my gosh, the next month, bang, I got pregnant.
Now let's really think about this moment, and that's amazing. Your entire existence.
To my grandfather falling off the truck.
Yes, that moment of imbalance.
And do you know what? And because my father, my father was wonderful. Everybody loved him, but he was a narcissist. There's no doubt about it. And he, when Derek started to achieve some success, he would tell people, you know, Derek's here because of me.
It's really because,
fell off the truck?
Yes, that's him. Because everything revolved.
Derek, we need to, now that I know this story, I think we can do a drunk history about your childhood.
Now wait, I agree, but there's one story that has where it really all started for my brother and I. Please tell Duncan and his listeners what made you fall in love with Dad. When my dad kept trying to woo my mom.
Yeah.
I'm going to set it up and then okay. you finish it.
Yeah. How old is Burns?
He was 18, I was 17.
Okay.
And so he was always flirting with you, always asking you out.
This is seniors at high school?
He had graduated, I was a senior.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
When he really liked you and you just wanted to be friends. You just thought.
Yes.
That's all you
That is correct.
And how long were you friend zoning him?
Yeah, friend zoning.
Only, maybe 6-7 months. Not. Okay. It wasn't even a year.
And then what did you see Dad do that made you decide you wanted to date him?
Okay, so what it was, he went to community college.
Like I said, the Waters are real smart.
Because, and he, it is the truth.
I went to community college. Yeah. Give us a break. Yeah.
But, you know, but Burns went to Essex. He went to Catonsville. He went to University of Maryland. And he flunked out of all.
I never knew that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, so he landed in community college after flunking out of all these other schools.
Yeah.
So he was Perfect in a example. Downwards educational yeah. spiral.
Of course, only right. friend zone if you're yeah. doing that.
Right. Yeah. So,
what are you going to get out of this guy?
But and so we have to go to Derek. So I love telling the story of Derek's college experience.
Get to what you saw Dad do.
When you fell in love with Burns.
I loved Burns. I mean, as far as a friend, he made me laugh.
Just to give the listeners a little visual, would you say Dad's kind of like a cute Barney Rubble mixed with like Yogi?
Yes, he actually. In fact, my dad.
Oh wait,
called him the Pillsbury Doughboy. And that's why my dad is in. His ashes are in Derek's kitchen in a Pillsbury boy dough in a cookie jar.
That's not why. That was a coincidence.
Okay, it was.
All right, so what do you see?
So anyway, so
you guys are the best.
He was just called. We were talking about our days, blah, blah, blah. And just out of the blue, and he didn't even think anything of it. He told me, oh, and I still remember her name, Barbara Miniter. I was in the, what do they call it, student center or something, and she bought me a donut. That was like, oh my God, how in the, what, somebody else wants Burns? No, they're not, they're not going to get him with just trying to bribe him with a donut. Wow. And I, so that was it. I know.
Beautiful.
Is that weird?
And that's why my grandma's ashes are in the donut jar.
No, are you serious?
No, no, no. But I'm really here because of a donut.
Well, you're here because of a donut, and you're here because of a clumsy moment on the back of a truck.
You know,
there are so many moments. You're just not, you just your fate.
Yeah.
But my fate, drunk history, there were so many moments it was just spinning like a coin.
Exactly.
It could have gone any way.
I know.
That's miraculous. And the other thing that I like is that both of these moments are kind of like not great moments. If someone's buying Burns donuts, that's not cool. That's not cool. He's like already being made fun of, I guess, a little bit.
For being chubby.
Yeah, and someone's like enabling this. So,
my word, Duncan.
That dark moment
transformed
into something beautiful.
Wow.
And that's happened at least twice. We don't know how many times this alchemical moment has been happening in the water's history.
Yes.
But that's pretty cool.
Well, I thought when you said we don't know how many times this, I thought you meant, oh my God, how many people have been buying Burns donuts? And Jody just didn't know about
it. Yeah, there's more than one donut.
Yeah.
So at that moment you realize, you know what? I really do like him more than a friend.
I know. Because it was somebody else. Was
smart.
Trying to.
Well, he didn't just tell you that story because he thought it was an interesting moment.
Right. We were talking about our days and what went on. And
but he just happened to bring. First of all, it's like not that. That's not a story. I would never tell you that, Derek. I would never be like, oh, Derek, someone bought me a donut today.
Oh, wow.
But I would tell it to you if I was trying to make you jealous.
Oh, you know, Burns has always said he didn't have any intentions, but. You're right.
Burns is a smart
She actually bought him the donut.
I would wonder if we went, you know, I would actually like to interview her.
Is she still alive?
I don't know. Oh.
And ask, did this moment, so you, because let's just think about it. Like, how does that work out? Like, they were in the cafeteria and she was just like, hey, can I get you a donut?
Right. You look like you could use one.
It doesn't seem it just doesn't seem real, does it?
But it also is like a terrible way to try to impress a girl, like, hey, just so you know, some other girls are buying me donuts. Oh my God.
That would be that, right.
So now I understand. So it's a beautiful thing. So now I get it. This was a moment of when you realized that it was time to have another child, it was because the universe revealed itself to you as the universe actually is, which
Absolutely.
Is people fall off trucks and almost die, and it happens.
And my brother was there, which he wouldn't have been there, I don't know, again. But, and so I went home and got pregnant. And
how did
you... I always say that. I don't... My mom... tells me I wasn't a mistake, but right after you had me, you got your tubes tied.
No, I did that because we might as well get into this.
Yes,
I had, after you were born, this is really sad. Okay.
Oh, great.
I forgot about this. And I don't know if doctors still do this or not. After you've delivered your baby 6 weeks, you go in for a 6-week checkup to make sure everything went back in place and blah, blah, blah. Well, anyway, at that time they discovered I had an ovarian cyst. And in those days, they had no idea it could have been cancer.
Right.
And so anyway, the only way was to have surgery. So, oh my gosh. Okay. As if I wasn't already a nervous wreck about being.
This is your second child.
Yes.
Here we go again. And then, 6 weeks in?
I'm
going
to die.
You might have cancer.
Yes. And I'm going to die. I remember
brutal.
Going out in the yard. We were planting Pacassandra. And I said, Burns, just remember when Derek grows up, you tell him, you know, how much I loved him. Geez. And oh my God. And
what were you planting?
Pachycandra, a ground cover. I remember.
That's crazy. You remember that.
What time of day was it?
It was like in the mid-morning, afternoon. I mean, I do. I remember being on my hands and knees. And literally, I'm going to die. And so you have to make sure you tell my little Derek that. So anyway.
Was this the first time you told Burns that there was the possibility that you had cancer?
No. I had come home right from the doctor.
You never even told him.
Yeah.
But this is the day after a possible terminal prognosis, and it's just starting to dawn on you what this means.
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing this relatively mundane activity. Mm-hmm. You're just planting some grass.
Right.
And then suddenly you're like, oh my God.
I'm not going to be around to watch my baby grow up. But then, of course, fast forward, I was fine.
Wait, let's not say fast forward.
Okay.
Slow forward. Yes. Because every day that you have to live in that question mark is not a short day. Those are weird. How long was it before they're like, oh, you're fine?
Well, they can't tell you until after the surgery and the biopsy comes back. So it was about, you know, like 5 days after the surgery.
Oh my God.
So I had that. Now wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. Because I had to, and it was like, okay, well, you're doing that surgery, so go ahead and tie my tubes, because I thought to myself, I have two boys. No matter if something happened to Burns and I, you know, went off with Prince Charming or something, I still don't want any more children. So tie my tubes. But
wait, you were thinking.
I know. So I'm thinking now, that makes no sense.
If Burns and I, if it does, so you're thinking you had a lot of, you're juggling a lot of balls here.
Yeah, and
you're
that's
thinking like if.
That's why I'm mentally ill, right? Yeah, what I do.
Well, this is, so you're, that's what we do is we ruminate on things. So you're thinking a lot of things at once. You're thinking, one, I don't know if I'm going to live.
Right.
Two, should I live? And things not work out with Burns. If I discover another wonderful man, I don't want to have any more
donuts
babies.
From girls. Right.
Yeah. But it wouldn't matter even.
You're multitasking.
I do not want another child.
Still,
right?
Yeah. So that is what happened, and I guess that's the end.
You know what I think is interesting is that you're not afraid to say I'm mentally ill.
Oh,
What do you mean by that?
I feel very strongly that I've suffered with this. So many years of mental illness, anxiety, depression, not wanting to admit it for years, and really not even knowing what was wrong with me when I would have these bouts where I would lose. I mean, I could not even put a cracker in my mouth, and I would lose at least, you know, 20 or 25 pounds because I just couldn't eat. And I can remember praying, oh, God, if I ever feel better again, I'd rather be fat and happy. So then without any medication, because I still wasn't convinced that I was depressed or anything like that, I would eventually get back and be fine. And then I'd start eating again. So when did it start?
Yeah, was this before Justin? Was this before Justin that it started showing up, or was
And that's interesting because
it all started with me.
Do you know? No. Oh my gosh! Wow, you could be a therapist because I'm thinking back. The first time it happened to me was in high school. I had not even met Burns. I was dating the last guy before I met Burns, and he broke up with me, and somehow my mother was involved. She sent him a letter. I never got the answers to what really went on.
She sent him a letter.
Yeah, and you know, and I sometimes think, because we just had our 50th high school reunion, and he was there. I didn't go. And Burns even said, hey, why don't you call Dave and, you know, ask him.
Yeah.
What's your biggest question? What the letter said?
What the letter said. What did my mother, you know, say to you made you?
Your mother made him. You think your mother in some way engineered?
She engineered something. Yeah.
Was there something, just thinking, like, was he poor? Was there something?
No, no. He was. The only thing I can think of is that even back then, I mean, in those days, I can remember he went out with somebody else and, you know, cheated on me and whether, but, and then this all goes back to my mother too. She was suffering from depression. Mm. And of course, as an adult now, I realize why she treated me the way she did. And she even admits, oh yeah, when I did that with Dave, I was crazy at the time. You know, I don't, and you know, just kind of.
And you didn't know that your mother was.
I didn't know
struggling with this.
No. I just figured, you know, she would be in her room crying, and I would always try and make her feel better.
You thought it was your fault.
Of course. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And also because I was 2 years old when my brother was born, and he was extremely ill. He had asthma. Back then, nobody had asthma. It was, and he, you know, almost died a few times, and he had eczema. And so I remember it was always, I can't deal with you, Jody. You have to be a good girl because I've got so much to deal with your brother. And I can't, you just have to,
right.
I can't do it.
Abandonment.
Uh-huh, exactly. And gee, I wonder why I have, anyway, so
well, yeah,
to get back to your question about, so if people kind of know what experiences others go through and that there is help, I don't know what you can really you know, help people other than the fact that you're open about it.
The moment, what you just did.
Yeah.
And anytime anybody who is, I don't like the term mental illness.
I know.
If something about it is, we need a new word for it.
We do.
But anytime someone freely and in the strong way that you announced it does that, everyone listening who's secretly going through it has permission to say it out loud.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
And saying it out loud, that's where the healing really gets going, right?
That's
there.
It, right, because it took me how many, I guess you would call them mini nervous breakdowns,
yes,
to finally get to the point where, hey, I really do need some help.
Yeah.
I've got to, you know, I think there's some place that there's medication, and I think I better. But
how is Burns dealing with this?
Well, Burns is so sweet. He just kind of.
He's the best.
Yeah. And it is hard. And the boys, as the years went on, I still hadn't admitted it. Okay, Justin and Derek, they all feel so bad. And I know that's another really, really difficult thing for family members who are living with somebody that is suffering with anxiety and depression, because they want to do something. There's nothing they can say.
Right.
There's nothing they can do.
Right.
It's frustrating for them. It's just really, really difficult because they see that you're suffering and you just want to help that person, but there's nothing.
Yeah, like one year you wouldn't come out of your room.
No. Right.
For a year?
No.
On and
year.
Off.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This was Christmas that this happened?
One time.
And
I don't remember.
How old were you, Derek, when that was going down?
Not long ago.
You mean as like, far as being away and everything.
When was this?
How old you were?
I don't know.
How were you?
6 or 7 years ago?
You mean since you've left the house?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm talking about when it first started, when I wasn't on medication.
See, I didn't know that stuff.
What did you think was, how aware were you that your mom was not feeling great?
I don't know.
I don't think I knew anything until
You
know what happened?
Later.
I really think I pushed myself again because I certainly wasn't going to admit that there was something wrong with me. Oh, my word. No, I had to be this perfect person.
Where'd you learn that?
So, right, from Mother Dearest. So I would push myself so my children would not realize. Now, I was more honest with Burns. He knew. And I guess it didn't matter as much to me about my husband as my children. I wanted to protect.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Raising kids in the midst of depression, it's got to be something like, you know, when people climb Everest in high altitude and everything you do is takes five times the energy, five times. What an incredible thing to pull off raising these two sweeties in the midst of having a debilitating form of mental illness. That's an incredible accomplishment.
You never showed it. You're the best mom, and you never, ever... I never saw that growing up.
Right, and now looking back, I think, well, did I do a disservice to you in, you know, pretending everything was fine so that if, you know, you or Justin ever felt bad, you wouldn't put it, you know, you wouldn't think, oh, well...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter
because you were the best mom, and you did what you thought was right.
Do you know? And that to this day, when my kids will say that, and this is what in my brain, I totally hang on to. And right now is what is this day? September what? The only reason the boys turned out is because of Burns. I had nothing positive. And he will tell, oh, but you did this. I said, no, you were the one that, you know, took the time and I didn't know how to play like you.
But think about, let's think about this for a moment. Not to do therapy here.
No, I know.
But let's think about this for a moment. What you just said. Because the thing you just said is quantifiably wrong. Just based on the stories you've just told in through this podcast, it's obvious that it wasn't just Burns, but there's some part of yourself that won't let you have any kind of a sense of accomplishment in your life.
I know. Is it? And I guess because I was told so many times that I was a jackass, I was stupid, I was dumb, and so but my father, oh my God, he adored me, and I knew that. So why do I have to keep going back to that? But anyway.
Well, because what happens is when you're getting abused, there's two things that happen to someone who's getting abused. You either internalize the abuser, and so there's a word for it, called cops in the head. And people who live in like really rough neighborhoods where the cops are really oppressive, it's a creepy thing that happens in authoritarian regimes where they no longer have to have cops anymore because the people start self-policing because the cops are now living inside their brain. So like they're constantly like feeling paranoid and scared because they've internalized the aggressor or the abuser. So what happens when you have an abusive
parent
relationship is you either internalize the abuser and suddenly now you have this thing living in your head, which is exactly what you just did, where you're like, it wasn't me, it was Burns. Okay. That's not you. That's an internalized voice that you are living with. Or which didn't happen to you. Lucky for you, Derek, you become the abuser. So it's one or the other. You keep it inside of you. You internalize it. Now you have this thing living inside of you, or you become it. And both outcomes are pretty, pretty brutal.
That is exactly right, because I was, from the day Justin could, you know, understand anything, I was constantly, oh, that's a great job. Oh, you did great. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so proud of you, blah, blah, blah. Things that I had never experienced. But I said, okay, enough is enough. I know how I don't want to raise my children. And yes, I want them to feel good about themselves. I want them, you know, to realize that they are valuable, that their opinions count. Things that I would have loved to have heard from my mother, but so I really consciously worked on that, that's for sure.
So it wasn't just Burns.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I was working hard. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What was your word? Teaching every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were you teaching?
I taught nursery school, a third grade. I have an early childhood degree. So,
and then
but you
Valley
know,
Baptist.
Right. That was the director. And, you know, they say when things happen to you that you can kind of
I loved my childhood, and Bob goes, just because you loved your childhood doesn't mean you had a good childhood.
Oh, that was a great one. Wow. Guru Odenkirk.
Yeah, right.
Wow. All right, let's take a quick break. Yeah. Then we'll wrap it up. Okay, we're rolling. Let's do a quick shout out.
This is a shout out for Andrew Ferguson. He's a big fan of yours, and we're a big fan of him. So we just want to say hi, Andrew.
Okay, so let's do it right, though. Let's add a little sound bed to this, and then we'll do the shout out. Andrew Ferguson, what's up, man? Here's a shout out to you, coming from the DTFH. We love you. God bless you. And you're super lucky to be pals with the Waters. I hope I meet you one day. Ferguson Tires. So, guys, we're back with the beautiful Waters family. And this is, we got to have a little Hollywood moment. Last, you know what you got to do yesterday, man? You got to do a dream, which is to take your mom to the Emmys. What was that like?
I don't know. It was it just felt like it was the best. You know, it's like already surreal that you're invited to some place that has always been something that you're just like, oh, that's such a faraway dream.
Yeah.
I never even dreamed about going to the Emmys, but
People knock it these days now or whatever, but I'm telling you, man, that's a big deal. I mean, as a comedian, whether you like it or not, and as much as you want to hate on it, getting invited to the Emmys is like pretty badass.
Beyond badass. It is. And I know that. And I was very excited. But taking my mom just felt so good because it's my mom. And I wouldn't have gotten there if it wasn't for my mom. So
did you drive?
No. We were driven.
Oh, they pulled up in a black car.
Yeah.
And you guys are dressed up for the Emmys?
We're dressed up for the Emmys.
How did that feel for you to be with this boy that you raised and like going into a black car getting taken to the Emmys? Was it a cool moment?
It's... I don't...
She's jaded.
Okay. Derek has been blessed. He was actually nominated 3 years in a row, and I got to go with him.
You've been
him
twice.
The first year.
Oh, you've
right.
been, this is your third trip to the Emmys.
No, there was a girl that was in between on the second year. There's so I went the first.
At this point, you're like, whatever, I don't want to dress
up. I did tell my mom last night, I was like, you know, I feel like every time you cry or get upset that you don't have a grandchild from me. Like, if I was making a grandchild, you wouldn't be at the Emmys. Because I'd be dating somebody.
So that's probably not a great pitch, right? That's it. I'd much rather have a grandchild than go to the Emmys. No,
you know what? And I used to, of course, you know, want a grandchild. Well, guess what? God bless me with three. And it's like...
Now you're done?
And now,
you're good.
I'm good. And all I ever wanted from the time the boys were young, and I remember Justin, of course, he was the firstborn, going to the first parent conference when he was in first grade, and the teacher would say maybe, I don't know, we should learn his numbers better or something. My only question was, does he have friends? That's
cool.
All I wanted. And the same way with Derek. And as I say, we weren't academically oriented. And so when I would go later on, when they were in middle school, high school, and I go to parent-teacher conferences because they did not have good grades, and I felt like a total failure going in. But then the teachers would say, okay, yeah, he can work on this or that. But let me tell you, oh my gosh, the most polite boys, because it happened with both of them, they're just, you know, he's just so easy to get along with and just always kind and blah. That was all I wanted to hear. The hell with the grades. I really didn't care anymore. Ultimate because I mom. Knew that this is the type of thing, and I can remember also that these are the kind of skills that really count in life, to get along with people. You can always go to a book and, you know, learn, but nobody can teach you.
Calculator's not going to make you pals.
Exactly.
But see what's neat, what's genetic, Duncan, what naturally is happening, is you've been asking the same question. And neither one of us can accept what we did yesterday because we know it's not important. We know it's cool, but this is how I was raised. Is that's not what's important. What's important is like the people that you're around and what you're doing is like fun. Yeah. Like the Emmys is awesome and an honor.
Listen,
but it's
like the Emmys is...
Taking my mom to it is, this is the best, is I'm with someone that accepts it for what it is.
The Emmys operates on a bunch of different levels at once. On one level, it's like this ridiculous, self-serving, narcissistic, satanic ritual. but on another level, it's like what my therapist would call a medal. So it's like getting a little medal, and it's a cool thing. And listen, I'll tell you this: if like somebody wanted me to go to the Emmys with them, I probably wouldn't want to go, because like I don't want to put on a suit, and I don't want to, like, I get really squirmy and stuff, and I don't want to sit through it, and it feels like going to like church or a funeral or something, or it's like, but still, that's just me. But if I had a chance to go back in time and take my mom to the Emmys, come on, man. I know right now both of you are too cool for school.
That's not true. Let me tell you something.
It's something so primordially badass. And I get it. By the way, it is cool to be like, whatever. It's the Duncan, stop. Did you watch the Emmys? No, I didn't.
I'm not disregarding it, because I do think it's awesome that it's awesome. We went. But I think it's neat that both my mother and I just won't talk about it, that we're just talking about. You keep going to like, oh, when he was a kid, like, I just wanted him to have friends, and that it's, you never, well, you said it the other day. You go, I thought you would make it, but I didn't think you would go this far. What did you say?
Right, and that goes back to the very, very beginning of what you asked when Derek first came out here when he was 20 years old, and people, oh, how do you do that? And it was like, because I know this is, it's making him happy. He has a passion to do that. And then just to go back, in case Justin ever listens to this, it was the same thing with Justin. He had a passion from the time he was a little boy to drive an 18-wheeler. And so when he discovered a certain trucking company that took younger drivers, he signed up for it, and people, oh my God, how do you, aren't you scared, blah, blah, blah. No, because again, he was following his dream. That was his passion. And I even had some go-rounds with Burns because Justin started in the business. But I said, no, no, no. He has to do this because it's so much a part of him, and it has been that. And so often, you know, men in their middle, you know, midlife crisis, oh, I always wanted to drive mm-hmm. a truck and I yeah. never got, he's done it. He was able to do that. And then
so cool.
And remember, Mom, when you talked about, well, I don't know if I feel like a good mother. There's a lot of great mothers out there, but there are very few that allow both their children to go out for what they believed in, whether it was financially smart or not, that you encouraged both your children.
Like, that's right.
You cannot look at that and be like, yeah, I don't know if I made the right decision.
Yeah, and that is exactly, not, I think I shared this with you and I've said it before. I guess I am still envious in the fact that they both had a passion, because I never, I guess because I was never really allowed or even thought, I never had a passion. I mean, yeah, okay. My mother said, you'd be a teacher. I'm a teacher. I was passionate about getting married to a wonderful man.
Yeah.
And I was passionate about having wonderful children. And guess what?
It worked.
It did. It did. So, yeah.
So how do you think that's the most important thing? It's like, how do you do that? How do you, what about people out there who feel passionless? What about folks who, because, you know, I know it's frustrating for some people because they hear you talk about your passion as a mother and raising kids and a wife, and they hear your passion, Derek, to, you know, you followed your dream, your brother's passion, got into this crazy industry. But what would you say to folks out there like, I don't know what I'm good at. I feel kind of ambivalent. I'm not sure what I'm, if I have any passion.
I feel sorry. Like I said, I felt sorry for myself because I tried to make up in my mind, oh, what could I be passionate about? And I thought, oh, okay, that's it. You know, I want to get married and have.
You wanted to like work in the FBI. You're like,
that's cool.
I'm really good at solving cases. I think I want to work.
Do you, Derek? I totally. Do you know what? And I did. I wanted to be a private investigator. I did. You're right. And okay, so this is. Oh my gosh.
How old were you, Derek?
I was in high school.
Yeah. This. Oh my word, talking about that, I was sitting on the steps in my parents' house, so I had to have been like maybe 13 or 14, and I said, you know, what I'd really like to do is be a zookeeper.
Awesome.
My parents went off. Yes, that is a dumb, you wouldn't let that donkey, you know, you were scared of that. How in the hell? What are you talking about? Oh, you just have to clean the cages. So I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm not going to be a zookeeper.
You weren't encouraged.
No, I was totally.
Can you imagine? But really, yeah. Think about that as a mother.
Uh-huh.
Can you, I know. I can't
let
imagine.
Your child, yes. Says
a 13-year-old, yeah. Like, it wants to be around animals. Why wouldn't
you're like, oh, well, let's figure it out. Like, exactly. Let's take you to the zoo, let's talk to them, let's see if we can get you volunteering out here, get you working with the zoo.
Yeah,
but to be like, no,
right, and then specific, you know, elements as to why you cannot be interested at all. It's just like, and it just goes back to being, just not accepted for who you are. Anything that comes from your brain. And that was the thing with the kids. I always wanted to, oh, you know what? That is, I really like that, Derek. Let's try. Yeah, let's do that. where, you know, that was never, but I would have loved to have felt, except like, oh, that's a really good idea. Good God, I can't even go on about the times that I was like, just totally, well, this isn't going to be on there, but I'll talk about this anyway. Just to give you an example, my mother was giving a shower for a friend of hers daughter, and she asked me to cut up the celery for a dip or something. So I did. Oh, my God. She went off in front of all the guests, all the people.
Wow.
That is, why are you cutting the celery that way? That is the dumbest thing. Look at that. You've ruined it. Ah. It's like, oh, my. So anyway.
How old were you when that happened?
Where was I?
How old?
Oh, how old? I think I knew Burns then. I was older, yeah.
Well, no, age is okay. That is just ridiculous to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people, this is the thing. I was just, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot, which is like a lot of us got born, people get born into families where there's trauma, right? That stuff doesn't, what it is it's kind of like a, so it's like, it's a terrible game of hot potato, right? And it starts way back in time. And we don't know when it started. But at some point, somebody becomes an asshole because they're scared. And then they have kids. And then they pass it on to the kids. And the kids pass on. And it goes down the line. And this is the moment you figure out how to stop it. Just like what you did, it produces some pretty beautiful, incredible events in the world. One of them being Derek Waters.
Matthew Waters.
It's so interesting, isn't it?
And it
it's,
is.
It's an amazing thing to see. And this is why I think if people don't have, like, if some people are like, I don't know what my passion is. Well, no, the passion is like, look into yourself, figure out where this rotten, demonic hot potato is situated in your heart, and figure out if there's a way to transform it, change it, shift it, work on yourself. Because the moment you start doing that, you really transform the universe. I mean, honestly, I don't mean to keep like patting you on the back, Derek, but just as a friend in my life, like it's just incredibly powerful to have someone like you in my life.
Likewise.
It's just an amazing thing. And it's like, he's like that. I would like to think I'm his only friend, but I have a feeling he's got a lot of people who depend on him and love him. And just think about that. What you did. That's really wild to me. It's a beautiful thing.
That is so neat, because that's exactly what I was trying to tell Derek last night, is that, well, from the time he was young with his kids, with his friends, but I just think how many people would come home and be so depressed and then happen to turn on the TV and just laugh at. Even when he started out, when he was in this cute little sitcom, and I would tell
it was not cute.
What
cute
sitcom?
Means unfunny.
What sitcom?
A sitcom I did when I first moved out here.
Married to the Kellys.
Yeah,
oh, I'm sorry.
Kellys. Go ahead. Even when I was in the cute sitcom.
I said, I'll give you an example. A friend of mine's mother, who was almost legally blind. Anyway, because she didn't even know Derek, but she just knew me, and Derek was my son. And so her daughter, Susan, would tell me how she got her face up as close to the TV as she could to try and see. And
she's
that was
glasses.
It was the highlight.
And here's the other thing. It's like that the highlight. She kills the story every time because it has to be a joke. And they're like, she didn't even know who I was. So how did she know which one I was?
Because Susan told her your character's name was Lewis.
Oh, that's sweet.
And so, that's what I said to Derek. I said, oh my God, just think of the amount of lives that you have made better through
think of
comedy.
How many blind people are smashing their face into their television, you know, just to be close to you.
And you know what? That is exactly his response to me last night when I said that.
And I tried to tell her, like, well, I can't think about that, because if I think about that, then I'm going after the you know, the reward instead of the product.
God forbid.
And I'm being serious.
Well, you, I mean, I understand. The idea is, like, we have a right to our action. We don't have a right to the fruits of our action. But at some, I mean, I do think at some point, at just some point, you're allowed to, at the end of the day, I don't mean, I don't really like when people say at the end of the day. I literally mean at the end of the day, like when you're sitting at home, at some point, you got to be like, yeah, I did it. I did it.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I'm not all, you know, because the thing is, like, what's really weird, this is something Sharon Salzberg talks about, you love her, is just how a lot of times at the end of the day, as you're going over your day, you're usually just thinking about the bad things you did.
Always.
Right. But it's like if you spend a little bit of time thinking about it, you did some pretty good stuff during the day too. So why is it okay to ruminate on the rotten things that you did in the day instead of spending the time thinking about, which is kind of an usually more good things that you did? You're allowed to do that. Why can't you do that?
No, you can.
Yeah, you could do that. And sometimes, and I know what you mean, man, with this, I mean, I'm not, we should all just pat ourselves on the back and get in a pat. I don't mean to, I know we're not supposed to do this, but with this podcast, I try not to let myself think too much about it at all. But sometimes you're allowed to be like, it's cool. I'm pretty happy about the fact that somebody out there feels a little better because of what I'm doing. I think we got to let ourselves do that.
Yeah.
And we have to let ourselves do that all the time and just experiment with that.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a blasphemy. Literally, people are like, oh, yeah, really? Oh, look at you. Oh, aren't you special? Aren't you a special little prince? Oh, look at you. You're touching the world with laughter. Fuck you. Bow down to the darkness. Kiss the feet of the devil. You know what I mean? It's like, why? Why not? Why not be like, hey, I love it. I'm helping people. I want to help people. I'm going to try to help people. It's okay. I feel good about that. We gotta like let ourselves do that, man.
I like that. Okay, I'll have to remember. this is good. But no, and if you let your guard down, obviously, Derek must have a problem with this. I will every once in a while think, oh yeah, and I kept all these notes for the longest time that the parents wrote to me over the years when I was the director of the preschool, or even as a teacher, you know, how wonderful you are, and you helped my child, you helped me, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, oh, well, I guess I should keep these in case one day when I feel rotten about myself. So anyway, but then I guess I was really feeling rotten about myself one day because I threw them all out. So
there you go.
Yep.
You don't need them.
Yeah, well, I hope, or it was like, I don't believe that this bunch of shit. You know,
let's throw these away. I'm sure these people who wrote them must have been out of their gourd.
Exactly.
When they wrote them, these people were lunatics. How dare
they have
liars.
No idea.
Liars.
Who I am for real. No,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. There you go. Uh-huh. Right there it is. You get in there. Right there it is. That's the game you're playing.
Yeah.
And it's and the thing is, it's just like you can play it as long as you want. And but it's a like I just think it's fun. To be, there's a saying this teacher I really like, Jack Kornfield, says. He actually quotes this, I think it's a Sufi poet, Hafiz, who says, fear is the cheapest room in the house. I hope you find better quarters. And it really is like the fun thing to do is you can really just, as a thought experiment, just for fun, this is what I do. And sometimes I actually try to record myself doing it and I upload it as insanity. But it's fun to like spend like 3 minutes. Imagine this, just for an experiment. Spend 3 minutes thinking, I'm pretty awesome. Oh, I know. Can you do it? Or, okay, you can't do 3 minutes. Can you do a second? can you even like, because it takes a second for the part of your mind that like tears up letters of love to get kick in. Sometimes you can catch it off guard. So can you slide in like 3 seconds of like, hey, you're pretty great, and then like the wolves come to the door. But you know what I mean? See if you can play around with like, just for a fun couple of seconds of like being like, hey, I'm pretty badass.
Yeah, that's good.
2 seconds.
Okay, you want me? Okay. I
Damn you, motherfucker. Come on, man.
Okay.
Sorry for cursing.
Yeah, right. Like I don't. No, I can't. See, I'm yes, thinking I'm okay. thinking it in my head, but it won't come, I won't allow it to come out.
Say I'm great. Just say, you know, I think I'm pretty
How many
great.
Kids are you responsible for having a great childhood besides two boys, the kids in your preschool?
I don't.
Years and years of teaching kids and making them feel good.
Right.
That's awesome. You don't know what happened with their lives, but what you did is already awesome.
It's so fun to do. This is blasphemy. I mean, it's blasphemy. We're really talking about, like, this is, like, way worse than cursing. Letting yourself feel okay for a second.
Right. And to verbalize...
Oh, God forbid.
The idea that I am good...
You're the best. You're not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're awesome, hon.
What? That is so weird, because it's so hard for me to say. Okay, I love color, and I've just, in the past, whatever, I can't say.
Right. Say it. Just, just like, you don't have to feel it, just say it.
I'm really good at putting colors together, and I'm good at making things look coordinated and pretty, and people like what I do because they, how did you do that? Can you show
and
me?
Remember what we talked about last night?
That was great.
How many times would someone say to you, yeah, I don't like those colors. What does that make you feel? That you know that you're good at that.
Oh,
that you have that confidence, and that you know what you love.
That is true. And see, that was the first thing that comes to my mind, because I have realized, yeah, I do. I'm good with colors, and I wouldn't. That's because any other thing I would doubt myself on and say, oh yeah, well I have to throw that away. But it's like, because I am confident in that part of my life, I would say, bullshit. I don't give a fuck what you say. Yeah. I like these colors. I like the way it looks. And I'm very secure in that. Where anything else, like, oh my God, no.
I can't get to it.
But yeah, that's,
you got it.
That's neat.
That's the door in right there.
Uh-huh.
And when you say, every time you say that, it's a victory. And it's a serious victory. Uh-huh. Against this ridiculous oppressive regime that's established itself in your mind. Anytime you're like, I'm good at colors, and you say it, wow, that's huge. That's huge. And you could turn it into a thing you do every day. And it's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. You get in front of the mirror and you look at yourself and you go, I'm good at colors.
Yeah. And just to experience this, so I hope your listeners listen to you and do this exercise. As hard as it is, wow.
It feels good.
It does.
It's victory. It's empowering.
Really and truly.
Great.
Only because the food's here. Food, right?
Delicious food. Yeah. Thank you so much,
of Derek. Course. Thank you, Mr. Waters.
Of course.
Oh, wait, hang on.
My cup thrown at over.
Yeah, it's working. You guys... This is a wonderful night,
and Amen.
It's just really, really great to spend time with such a cool family. You guys are awesome. I love it, man.
We're very blessed. I got blessed real good. I got a great mama and a great dad and a great brother. And when we were talking about my brother working for my dad's company, one thing that's really cool is like my brother knows what I do. He couldn't do and vice versa. And, you know, because I used to work at the Waters company when I would get depressed out here I would call my brother and ask him to put the phone down just so I could hear the shipping tape going over top of the boxes and just knowing, oh, right, if I don't do it out here, that's where I'm going to end up. And just cool to have a brother that like, understands that what he does isn't for me.
Do you ever think you'll meet your dad?
I don't, no. I mean, Ancestry.com can only do so much. But it's, you know, all these stories that I've learned tonight, who knows who it could be now. All these brand new names have been run up. Could have been Mr. Dave.
Mr. Dave, my janitor. Yeah,
Who knows? That could be anyone, but I just hope it's Burns. Because I want to continue the generation of Burns Waters. I want my son.
We're all related if you trace it back far enough.
Oh, yeah. I hope you're my brother.
I am, in some way.
Until when you're in the bathroom, my mom and I sound like you just feel like you're family.
Ah, you guys.
No, it's true. Yeah. Oh, Duncan. Absolutely.
Well, I've, you know, this is, it's just really cool, man. Like, this is really, like, for me, it feels great. You don't even know, man. Like, anytime you make it work, anytime you go down the path and you don't continue the echo of whatever it is and you pull this thing off, it's a big win. It's a big win. It really is.
You know, you said something earlier. I think you were asking my mom and, of like, what do you say to the people that don't feel like they have a passion? And I wanted to say, you know, that you can feel good. There's good days and there's bad days, but every day there's something positive or negative that's going on in your head that echoes. And I believe passion, what you find your passion from, is based off that thing that won't shut up, whether it's a positive thing or negative thing. And you decide, how can I either help that echo or turn that echo off?
Derek Waters, thank you so much for being on the DTFH. Jody Waters, thank you. It's been such a wonderful night getting to know you. You're an amazing human.
This has been heart-changing for me. So I thank you, Mr. Duncan Trussell, and my Derek Matthew Waters.
Thanks, you guys.
Peace
love
out.
You, Mom. Peace out.
Peace out. When did that ever start? Peace out. What do people? Where?
Like, peace.
Where did that come?
I don't know. Like, I'm leaving.
Thanks for listening, my sweet darlings. That was Derek and Jody Waters. And a big thanks to Bombfell for supporting this episode. You can go to bombfell.com/Trussell. Check them out. They're awesome. You'll get a nice discount and some super cool clothes. And don't forget to join us over at patreon.com/DTFH. Subscribe to us. Make sure you plaster your home with images of the DTFH. Consider a DTFH face or eyeball tattoo. Cloak yourself in the logo of the DTFH and multiply yourself. See if you can multiply yourself into a billion individual clones of yourself, all covered in DTFH slogans and paraphernalia. Then run through the streets of the world, screaming, having orgasms, join together in a massive fleshy earth balloon, eradicate all evil, and transform all sad and suffering people into joyful, happy, tricky, awesome sweethearts. Could you please do that for me? I would appreciate it. I'll see you guys next time. We got a great podcast coming up with Brian Normand from Symposia, organization dedicated to spreading the psychedelic gospel. That's my words. They have a more refined way of saying it. I'll see you guys soon. Hare Krishna.